Studio 360.
For my money, which is currently worth a third more than Canadian money, the singer K.D. Lang is one of the great singers of American music. There are 3 days I know. She has worked in a vast range of styles, from punk to pop standards with Tony Bennett. Dreams that leave our worries behind you. But in your dreams, whatever they be, dream a little dream of me. To one of her recent albums with the indie rock stars Nico Case and Laura Veers. So honey and small, they don't really love you. K.D. Lang first came to my attention in the late 1980s as this cool alt-country hipster who owed a huge debt to Patsy Cline. About a decade ago, I spoke to her about her roots, the country music ones and the Canadian ones.
I came to country from a lot of different angles. I grew up in a small town in Consort, Alberta, population 650, which was a ranching and a farming community. So I understood the mindset and the lifestyle innately.
Uh-huh.
But I grew up studying and listening to classical musics. And then I studied music in college and also was an artist, and I was involved in a group of performance artists. So at the time when I got started in country, I was really coming from a performance artist perspective. And as a vocalist, it also was one of the few kinds of music where it really allowed my voice to open up, because I think my voice is quite languid, and country music really was a great vehicle for me as a singer.
As you discovered that, did your take on the country repertoire go from performance art kitsch lover to more sincere, gosh, this is a really good way for me to sing?
Yeah, that is what happened. I really, you know, entered it focusing on the sort of the funny polkas and all that. And the deeper I studied it and the more I listened to it, the more I realized that it was a wonderful way for me to explore my voice. But I think the thing about country was it was fun to play with the sort of traditions of themes that they worked on, inserting different ideas and thoughts into the traditional lyrics of country music. She was a big bone gal from Southern Alberta. You just couldn't call her small. You can bet every Saturday night she'd be heading for the Legion Hall. Put her blue dress on and she'd comb her hair. Oh, she'd been waiting all week. With a bounce in her step and a wiggle in her walk, she'd be swinging down the street. You could tell she was ready by the look in her eyes. She slipped into the crowd. She woke up. So she entered the place, yeah, the Big Bone Girl was proud.
Big Bone Gal by K.D. Lang from 1989. K.D., what did people in the mainstream country music world think when they first heard you and saw you?
I think they were a little bit frightened of me. You know, I obviously didn't look the part. I had a brush cut and cut off cowboy boots, oversized cowboy boots, and curtains from my sister's bedroom sewn into a skirt and things like that.
So you weren't a girly Dolly Parton kind of country singer?
No, I was kind of Buddy Holly in June Carter Cash's clothes. But I was somehow, I guess, engaging a new audience. So I think once they realized that I had a sincere connection to the music and even though I infused humor into my approach, I certainly had a great deal of respect for the musical form. Big beans or less to scrim. Make the days of being a slave and toss away the scrim and say, make poverty short and curt. All I need is pay dirt, pay dirt.
a tease and a flirt, and promises of big slice. Pay dirt,
originally from Angel with a Lariat. How does that sound to you now?
Fun. Yeah, I just instantly get transported back. I had so much fun back then. I was just so kinetic, and I was so excited to be finally making music and finally having all my dreams and everything come to fruition. I couldn't contain myself.
As you say, kinetic is exactly right. It's so full of kind of rootsy energy.
I think it juxtaposes the people's idea of who I am now, which is this crooner, like very serious crooner.
Uh-huh.
I had this other whole other side of me that has kind of been forgotten.
You're two mints in one. You're a candy mint and a breath mint.
Exactly. Thanks, Kurt. I appreciate that.
For your whole career, I think from the beginning, you've been pretty upfront about your sexual orientation. When you were a kid growing up in Alberta, were you open? Was it possibly open about being gay?
Yeah, I was as open as I could be. I mean, I didn't even know that there was a difference in orientation until I was in grade 11. I didn't know what the word lesbian meant. I mean, I just lived my life as I did, and then people pointed out to me that there was a difference.
No, nobody pointed out that difference until you were almost done with high school?
Pretty much, even though I had girlfriends from the time I was 13.
Is that because everybody in rural Alberta is just really tolerant or reticent or what?
I just think that they were in disbelief. Let's just put it that way.
Huh. Back then, who were your own musical influences, if you had any?
My own influences were singer-songwriters like Joni Mitchell, Kate Bush, Ricky Lee Jones. Then as I sort of got older, then sort of Peggy Lee and Carmen McRae, I moved into jazz. And then I came to country. On my 21st birthday, I was actually given two Patsy Cline records because Coal Miner's Daughter had come out. There seemed to be some sort of interest bubbling for country music in the gay scene. And Patsy Cline was sort of becoming this huge gay icon.
Each time I see you again.
When I listened to Patsy, I heard so much. It was so rich. And it was, like I said, I was sort of coming to country out of performance art where absurdity and the concept of pushing the envelope is infinite. So I really wanted something to work against. And country music was this thing that was so confining and so traditional that taking what I was experiencing then as a teenager, like the punk scene and infusing country into that and playing with the clothes, and it just all came together when I listened to Patsy.
You walk by and I fall.
You mentioned Joni Mitchell. Your record, Hymns of the 49th Parallel, is entirely covers of songs by fellow Canadians like Joni Mitchell and Neil Young and Leonard Cohen, and it's beautiful. Do you have a sense of Canadianism that you were trying to realize there?
Absolutely. I think because Canadians have grown up in the shadow of America, it's kind of like the difference between an older brother and a younger sister. The younger sister maybe more observant and subtle and a little less aggressive. I think also the fact that we live through extraordinarily long winters have made us very introspective in our art.
Yeah. Well, having grown up in the middle of the Great Plains, I always felt like I was a sort of honorary Canadian, or you Canadians were honorary Nebraskans and South Dakotans or something.
Right.
Let's hear your version, speaking of Canadian heroines, of Joni Mitchell's A Case of You.
In the back of a cartoon coaster, in the blue of a TV screen light, I drew a map of Canada, oh Canada. I your face sketched on it twice. You're in my blood like holy wine. You're so bitter and so sweet. I could drink a case of you. I would still be on my feet. Still be on my feet.
My gosh, that's beautiful. That's Katie Lang singing A Case of You. Singing covers, or rather interpreting versions of other people's music, is that experience of doing an album entirely that way altogether different than singing your own songs?
Yeah, it is, definitely. I think in some ways interpretive work is easier for me, because the transition from sort of the emotional mire or wherever it is that you come from as a songwriter, it's a very, it's like an ominous process to come from the writer to the interpreter in your own music. And as an interpreter, you have so much more to work with in a way, because you've heard other people's versions, you've lived with it, you have sort of more time and more perspective to build subtext around an interpretation. But as a writer, you're kind of in a tunnel, an emotional tunnel.
Locked into the animating emotions of all these things you've written about.
Yeah.
Katie Lang, thank you very much for joining me today.
It was a real pleasure, Kurt. I really appreciate it. I love your show.
Thank you. The great Katie Lang.